Welcome to RAPcast, the official podcast of Rheumatology Advanced Practice Providers. I'm your host, Amanda Mixon, and we are bringing you the first of a three-part series breaking down some of the pertinent updates in psoriatic arthritis from this year's ACR Convergence meeting. To help us navigate the latest data, key takeaways, and what it actually means in clinical practice, I am joined by Derek Mueller, one of the best PAs I know. So Derek, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for inviting me, Amanda. I appreciate it.
So obviously, you know, I'd love for you to give us an introduction for our listeners that maybe haven't, don't know who you are. So we did do a podcast together. Gosh, I don't even remember how long ago that was, where we spotlighted you. So, but for anybody maybe that didn't hear that, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, my name is Derek Mueller, PA. I'm from the Detroit area in Michigan. I work in a private practice near the Metro Detroit area, work mostly with adult patients. I also have a particular interest in spondyloarthritis and uveitis, and also do part-time in a uveitis clinic. So that's a little bit about me.
So obviously very pertinent into this particular episode where we were asked to choose some abstracts from ACR, which is a little overwhelming if you were at ACR, you know, to go around and look at all the different abstracts. Fortunately, it's pretty easy to go onto the website and actually look them up and kind of see what you're interested in. So we both picked some, and we're going to go ahead and get started and dive right in. So, Derek, talk to me about the first abstract that you found interesting.
Absolutely. So these are a couple abstracts. I'm going to go back to back. They're both abstracts on studies of the same drug. So first abstract is number 2584. And this is a study of a selective TYK2 inhibitor, zasocitinib, or TAK-279. So it's a phase 2B, a large trial of psoriatic arthritis patients. It's a double-blind, placebo-controlled multi-dose study. So looking at the experimental drug in multiple dosages, looking at 5 milligrams, 15, and 30 versus placebo. Study of 290 psoriatic arthritis patients of a 12-week duration with a primary endpoint of ACR20 and looking at a few secondary psoriatic arthritis-specific endpoints, as well as DAS28, HSCRP. And essentially what this analysis of the zasocitinib phase 2b trial here was looking at the endpoints for very low disease activity in psoriatic arthritis at these various dosages. And essentially the main takeaway here, we're looking at multiple dosages. But the 15 milligram and 30 milligram dosages did meet that ACR 20 endpoint at a 53.3% and 54.2% respectively, outcompeting the 5 milligram and placebo dosages. And also with these higher dosages, 15 and 30 milligrams, zasocitinib, there were endpoints of low disease activity by the PASDAS metric and by DAPSA, very, very competitive data here looking at efficacy in psoriatic arthritis compared to those other dosages. So I think really the main takeaways here from this first abstract are, I mean, this is a TYK2 inhibitor, so it is an oral option, and there is kind of a lot of debate right now about the safety of JAK inhibitors, especially in a population who may be at risk for cardiovascular disease. So there's some question about perhaps TYK2 inhibition having a milder safety profile compared to JAKs. And this is a once-a-day oral option. And we're seeing pretty good data endpoints with these dosages. So we can always welcome more options for our patients. And then switching gears to my second abstract, also looking at the same molecule, zasocitinib. This is abstract 1477. So looking at the same trial, but this abstract is looking more at the skin endpoint. So of course we're taking into account both the responses of inflammatory arthritis as well as psoriasis, right? So here we're breaking down PASI score 75, 90, and 100, looking at the same dosages, 5, 15, and 30. And main takeaways here are between the various dosages, the 30 milligram dose really did outcompete the other dosages. So for PASI 75, the 30 milligram dose is hitting 45.7%, hitting a PASI 75 at the 12-week mark, 37% in the PASI 90, 26.1% at the PASI 100 score. So, and that's all with a 30 milligram dosage. So we're looking at numbers, maybe compared to something like a Primalast, you're kind of in that range, perhaps hitting a little bit higher. So again, an oral option once a day, potentially good safety profile with these numbers for PASI as well as psoriatic arthritis metrics.
Wow. I mean, you know, I have to be honest, before you mentioned this study, I wasn't even familiar with this medication or potential new option for our patients. And, you know, again, it brings me back to a patient that I saw actually yesterday. And unfortunately, she has failed a few options. And I'm not sure maybe that, you know, something like this might be for her, but we do have these, you know, these patients that kind of seem to cycle through some of the various options. And so the way that I look at this in terms of, you know, what the impact might be is it's another option for our patients. And, you know, again, you're right about the JAKs and maybe this, you know, the risk, and we'll have to kind of see how that all really plays out. But it is nice that, you know, the potential safety for a TYK2 inhibitor for our patients and an oral option. I mean, I think that that's kind of what I take away is that, you know, hey, it's another option that we have for patients.
Certainly.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, again, it was interesting as I was talking to this lady yesterday and we were talking about various options and stuff. And I'm just like, you know, then I always go back to that. I remember when we didn't have hardly anything. And she's like, oh my gosh, am I running out? And it just, you know, it's nice to say, no, like there's this option, there's this option, and you haven't tried this one. And there's more to come. So, you know, again, I think it's just really exciting that we're in this time where, you know, we do have these options and more options for patients and safe options. And it really, you know, it's finding the right option for what each patient, you know, their domains, et cetera, and really kind of starting to really hone in on that precision medicine that everyone's talking about. Yeah, I think that's really exciting. So the one that I thought was kind of interesting just to kind of kick us off was abstract number 1466. And this was a Primalast treatment in early oligoarticular psoriatic arthritis, improving clinical and patient reported outcomes for up to 48 weeks. So this was data from a phase 4 trial. And really the purpose of this is a lot of clinical trials don't really include early, you know, oligoarticular psoriatic patients. So they're often underrepresented in clinical trials, which can lead to not a ton of evidence guiding treatment decisions for this group. And so really that's what this study aimed to do, was kind of look at this and see how patients did. And obviously, you know, we all kind of think of apremilast as a, you know, a more mild option. I remember somebody describing it as like dimming the lights versus completely shutting them off. You know, but I like apremilast. I mean, I think it's a nice option for patients. And I think it's a more mild option for patients. And that is kind of where I fit it in my arsenal, is when I'm thinking about patients that have a more mild disease, maybe 1 to 2, 3 joints, a more mild skin disease. And that's in my personal experience, what I feel like those patients do the best with this medication. But the methods of this particular trial was, it's called the Foremost trial, and it was a multi-center randomized double-blind placebo-controlled phase 4 study. It enrolled patients with psoriatic, and they had to be less than 5 years and have limited joint involvement. So 1 to 4 swollen and 1 to 4 tender joints. They were randomized in a 2-to-1 ratio to receive either apremilast 30 milligrams twice a day or placebo for 24 weeks. There was an early escape option at week 16. And then after 24 weeks, all patients received apremilast through week 48. The primary endpoint was achieving that modified minimal disease activity in the joints and at week 16. They also looked at some secondary endpoints of swollen and tender joints, clinical disease activity index for psoriatic arthritis, which is, you know, that CDAPSA, remission or low disease activity, psoriatic arthritis, impact of disease 12 item questionnaire. So that's the PSAID 12 score and also our HAC-DI scores at 48 weeks. And the results, a significantly higher proportion of patients achieved that MDA joints with apremilast versus placebo. So it was almost 34% versus 16%. And also the mean swollen joint and tender joint improved in the apremilast group while they worsened, not surprisingly, in the placebo arm during that placebo-controlled phase. In terms of the week 48 outcomes, among the patients who received at least one dose of apremilast, 46.2% in the apremilast group and 50% in the placebo to apremilast group achieved that minimal disease activity at week 48. There was continuous improvements in swollen and tender joints through week 48. And in the placebo group, 34% of patients with 2 to 4 sentinel joints progressed to a joint count greater than 4 at week 16. However, upon switching to apremilast, sustained treatment benefits were observed, with fewer patients progressing to a joint count greater than 4. Improvements in other clinical and patient-reported outcomes were also observed at week 16, and those were sustained through week 48 in the apremilast group. So kind of the conclusion here is that patients with early oligoarticular psoriatic arthritis, the apremilast treatment led to early and sustained improvements in both clinical and patient reported outcomes over a 48-week period, including achieving the treatment goal of MDA. There weren't any new safety signals. And so again, I think this is a valuable piece of information when we're thinking about our early patients. What do you think?
Yeah, I think this is a very interesting design too, because it's unique compared to other psoriatic arthritis trials. Most of these trials end up recruiting patients with really a polyarticular variant, many swollen joints, and we're looking at a subgroup with a very small amount. And actually, the endpoints in the trial are really unique too, because this MDA joints was kind of an endpoint created specifically for this trial to really tease out that magnitude of, going from 3 to 1 swollen joint, like in a RA trial, that wouldn't really seem like a big deal. But they really have to modify that to tease out the efficacy in this trial. So I think it's really interesting and informs us upon this disease state, which we know a lot of our patients are this oligoarticular variant. So I think it's also a good model, maybe looking at studying other drugs in a similar fashion too.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, we all get those patients, right, that are really early and, or even, a patient that has, psoriasis and some inflammatory joint pain. Maybe you see one swollen joint and you're kind of left with this decision of, okay, what do I do with that patient? Should I start them on therapy? It's interesting. Back in the day, we used to be like, oh, maybe you don't need to be on therapy. I mean, obviously, we've kind of changed how we think of things now, but that's right where I put apremilast. So, I mean, it really did at least give me more confidence in that, yeah, I'm positioning this drug right where it should be, which is really those early, more mild patients. And I will tell you, I have had patients on apremilast since it first came out. I mean, and these are patients that have not had to move on to, what I think we would consider to be stronger agents. And, again, I think it's a pretty mild drug. People tolerate it reasonably well. I mean, there are some side effects associated with it, but, those tend to get better the longer a patient stays on it in my experience. And, I feel like this is good and it kind of reiterates what I'm doing. What about you? Is this kind of what you're doing in those early patients that you see?
I think so. I think it's a totally appropriate treatment option, especially in early psoriatic arthritis and sometimes these oligoarticular, maybe not quite as severe patients are more hesitant to jump into biologic therapy. And I think it's totally appropriate that we're using apremilast in those patients. And this is more data that backs that up.
Absolutely. Well, we hope you enjoyed the first couple abstracts that we found. And that wraps up part one of our ACR psoriatic arthritis wrap up. Please be sure to join us for part two, where we will continue to break down the most relevant updates from ACR Convergence. We will see you next time.